This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Red Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Haw.
Biggs time.
The Biggs Report.
With Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, longtime contributor to the program, and of course, a valued friend. Biggs A!
Hey, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, not a great game. I'll be brutally honest with you. If you weren't kind of forced to watch it, you might turn it off, quite frankly.
Well, a lot of turnovers, so I don't think it was necessarily sloppy offensive football. This is pretty, for a defensive game, not bad. We've seen Super Bowls.
Pre-snap penalties on the Rams. Four. That's not good.
No, and they just they were out of sorts there. They've got solved by Bill Belichick. that's really what happened.
Yeah.
And I think the Patriots did a lot of what the Bears did against L.A., and it worked with a great deal of success. They were able to stop the runs that were going to the edges. They were able to pressure the quarterback, in New England's case, right up the middle. And they got really aggressive with Jared Goff's wide receivers, and he didn't get comfortable often, and it didn't really happen until later in the game, and it wasn't enough for LA's offense.
Brad, as a texter points out, Jared Goff's passer rating of 57.9 was lower even than Rex Grossman's against the Colts when the Bears played in the Super Bowl. That's bad. And I think you looked at him and he was not in command. And it looked like he was like that way early. How much of that was inexperience? How much of that was Bill Belichick's coaching? How much of that was Sean McVay not having his young quarterback prepared?
Well, I think the biggest factor is the inexperience. That's what you saw from Goff at Soldier Field in Week 14, guys. That's the same thing. Jittery in the pocket, uncertain. The balls, a lot of the passes that were incomplete weren't even close. I mean, we saw this guy in person do this, 7 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Maybe 8 now. I don't know. At any rate, we saw that against the Bears, 15-6 victory for them at Soldier Field, the exact same guy. So I think it's a process for a young quarterback. You know, they were able to disguise coverages very well. They were able to break tendency in terms of what they were going to do in the secondary. And for a young quarterback who's still finding his way in the league, that's a difficult thing to overcome. That being said, he had a shot there. He had a shot in that game, and they were one score away from taking the lead for most of the entire game, but they just weren't able to get it done. I've never seen anything like this before with Todd Gurley, where they claim that he is fine and everything's okay with him, and I don't know how a running back goes from MVP candidate in mid-November with statistics that at the end of the season were at the very top of his position in the league to being completely ineffective and forgotten in the NFC Championship game and in the Super Bowl. If something isn't wrong with him physically, they ought to still get some doctors involved, because I don't know where McVay's head is or Gurley's head is.
David made a good point earlier. He said that Bryce Callahan needs to be signed after watching that game. You've got to be able to deal with slot receivers in this league. And, you know, it's interesting because, of course, the Bears don't have a first or second round pick, which means New England will pick three times before the Bears make a selection. And I believe they have 2 second round picks. And after the compensatory picks are dished out and all that, they could have 6 picks when the Bears have 1. I mean, they're going to be adding a lot to that team, and that's a championship roster to begin with. What do you make of what the Bears have to do in the offseason as you look at that Super Bowl?
Yeah, if you don't bring Callahan back, you've got to get a guy that's as good or better, and that's a challenge because he was pretty good this past season. The Patriots slot corner gets MVP, 11 catches, I think, for a buck 40 for Julian Edelman. At times, really the only thing that New England had going with any consistency on offense, I'd have to look it up, but I bet you he had a first down on 8 or 9 of those catches.
Eight of the 10, yeah.
Yeah, and I still would have gone with Gilmore for MVP, though, guys. I mean, Gilmore broke up 3 passes, had the interception.
I might have gone with Hightower, but I can understand wanting a defensive player.
I could see Gilmore. That would have been the defensive player I'd pick. Yeah, that's
their only Pro Bowler on that side of the ball.
I don't know. When you win the game 13-3, shouldn't you take a harder look at a defensive guy for MVP than just giving it to the offensive guy with the stats? I mean, that's what I do. But Edelman played well, and they were moving the ball okay. It was just Wade Phillips had the bend-don't-break thing going on. Getting back to what do the Bears need to do, you know, I think they've got to be more efficient offensively, more consistent offensively. Does that mean they need an influx of a little bit of personnel on that side of the ball? That's possible, but you always want to keep a strength of strength, and I think personnel guys talk about that, the desire to keep a strength of strength on the roster. In order to do that, yeah, you're going to need that third starting cornerback. You're going to have to figure something out at strong safety if you don't bring Adrian Amos back. You know, eventually the Chicago Bears are going to reach the point where they can't bring everybody back. That's right. Just not practical, and you know what? Good football teams deal with that on a regular basis, and they find a way to improve and move forward. So I don't know if Amos is back in the picture, but you got to get a guy, and then you got to trust your coaches to make it happen.
Brad, I'm not going to argue with anybody today that says that was a boring game, hard to watch, because I think that's going to be the conversation around a lot of offices and talk shows today.
That halftime show was awful.
Okay, we'll get to that. I know you did not like that at all. You did not. I appreciated your Instagram post. But look,
Adam Levine and Maroon 5, he has taken his shirt off. He's throwing the microphone down.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
You know what? I got to just interrupt, Brad. That reminded me, when I saw that California tattoo, it reminded me of R.W. McCorders, who had franchise written across his stomach. And he was in San Francisco, and he was so bad they renamed him French Fries because of that tattoo. And I was trying to come up with a name for Adam Levine for California.
Oh, brother.
Didn't
I'm
like
sorry,
that, Brad.
Dave. I really took you off track there, didn't I?
No, that's fine. Yeah, you did. Yeah, you definitely made clear you did not like him. A lot of people agreed.
But I took you off track. Where were we headed?
Oh, I'm sorry.
So in December, we're watching the Bears play the Rams, and it's 15-6. And in Chicago, it's celebrated. And around the league as a defensive dominance. And boy, this is the way you win championships. And this is going to work here in Chicago with the Bears. Look what they've done. Look at Vic Fangio. Last night, 13-3 is interpreted as one of the most boring Super Bowls ever, the lowest scoring Super Bowl ever. What's the difference? And I think that if you appreciated football or defensive football in December, do you not still appreciate it when you see it at the highest level?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the difference is there, to be honest with you. I'm not sure. how you can account for the difference, because the Bears probably needed to score more than 15 points against the Rams. They needed to find ways to move the ball a little bit more. I think when people tune in and you're going to watch Tom Brady and you've got offenses that are ranked second and fourth in the league, and that's what these guys were in terms of scoring, you just expect to get a tight 28-24 game, a tight 31-28 game, and when you don't get that, you're probably disappointed. You know, we've seen some games this year where we've had teams with good defenses match up, and they get involved in a bit of a high-scoring affair, and that's that didn't happen. And so I'm interested to see what the TV numbers look like, and certainly realize that the game will be criticized by a lot of people, maybe not Patriot fans, but a lot of people.
What when we start talking about the Bears and you look at Goff, and that is the guy that everybody wants Mitch to turn into, you start talking about offensive football and how quarterbacks get better. Is he no longer the guy you want Mitch to turn into? Do we think differently about Goff? He showed so much composure in New Orleans, but seemed utterly confused. And hey, by the way, McVay is the guy everybody wants, and he said he was outcoached.
Yeah, he was. You know, McVay was quick to kind of put it on his own shoulders, and you know, I'm sure that that plays well with the players. If you want Mitch to be a guy, why not have him be the next Mahomes, right? That would work out pretty well for
him.
Don't
start on that one.
Yeah. So, you know, Goff's still young. He's a year older than Mitch, and I think what you see there is that a young quarterback in year three is still a ways away from maybe getting it all figured out, and L.A. did a lot of work to get to this point. Remember, they were upset in the first round of the playoffs by the Falcons a year ago and did a lot of heavy lifting with that roster in the offseason to take the next step forward, and the next step forward brings them to this point, the Super Bowl, but they're just not quite able to solve Belichick and the Patriots, with, I mean, 6 Super Bowl titles in 18 years. That is insane. And then, you know, I've heard some people getting on the Patriots saying that the 49ers were better because they were 4-0 in the Super Bowl and that kind of thing. And it's like, well, yeah, the Patriots have gotten to the Super Bowl a lot more. That's more impressive than, you know, the 49ers not reaching that point more with those dynasty guys. So I don't know about where people want to stack up the all-time great teams, but we've been watching something for almost 2 complete decades now, guys, that's pretty special, and I can understand people being interested in change, but New England's been mighty great for an awful long time.
Quickly, before we let you go, Brad, what was your impression of talking to Matt Nagy after the Coach of the Year in terms of how significant he felt like that honor was? And what did you think of Allen Robinson saying that the Bears would welcome Kareem Hunt with open arms in the locker room?
I didn't see that comment by Robinson. I think the thing that stuck with me the most from Saturday night with Matt Nagy at the NFL Honors is that I think he felt it was a significant award because he's of the belief that a Coach of the Year award's a little bit crazy, that is an award that is shared by the players for the work they put in, all the other coaches for the work they put in, and by the organization as a whole, that everyone is, you know, rowing the boat in that one direction. So I think he felt really happy about it from that standpoint, very unhappy with the way that the season ended, but, you know, it's a reflection of a team award more than a coach, I think, is how he took that. And, you know, he's excited to get back to work. I know that much, and it'll be interesting to see what kind of moves they put together in the next month and a half.
Thank you, Bigsy. Appreciate
Thanks, Brad.
It.
Good stuff.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
That is the football man from the Chicago Tribune, our guy Brad Biggs.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.